Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. Oh yeah, he's back. The crack of the bat, the ping of the crossbar, and the roar of the crowd. We cover everything you want to talk about. It's the Rod Peterson Show.
Hey, good morning, Canada. Howdy. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show. Welcome into the bunker for this Tuesday, January 21st, episode number 160. Thanks for joining us on Coffee Row here today. I'm your host, Rod Peterson. He's the co-host, Darren DuPont. And I'm going to let you know right out of the gate, it's a hockey show today for the hockey fans. And I'll be honest with you, lots of folks very excited for the Silver Fox, Kelly Rempel, to be back at the bunker. How are you, Remps?
Always good, especially after eating that bar.
That G2G energy bar? Good. Thanks for not eating on the air, by the way. I appreciate that.
You made it very clear that that was not to happen.
I'll eat
in between breaks.
On the air. But I want to send a special shout out. Joe Lazito, watching in Long Island, he says, finally! Killer Kaminsky on the air. And he's a very big name in hockey. Kevin Killer Kaminsky, the former NHL tough guy. Saskatoon Blades great. And now the head coach and GM of the LaRonge Ice Wolves will be with us here in the bunker. And Joe said the best steak he ever had was at Killer's restaurant in Orlando. And I thought, I didn't know Killer had a restaurant. We got a lot of stories to get to with Kevin Killer Kaminsky today. I'm glad, Remps, that you're in the bunker, though, because I do have a lot of football topics that I want to get to here in the Elite Eight show topics.
Oh. Ooh.
Eight today, not seven. So he is still football first, believe it or not. So I want to get your thoughts on that. Just to line up more of the guests, I mentioned Killer Kaminsky, the Silver Fox, SJHL President Bill Chow, formerly of the Seattle Thunderbirds, and Manitoba Junior Hockey League president Kim Davis is going to be here. And the reason is the SJHL-MJHL showcase is on starting today in an hour's time at the Cooperators Arena. It's basically an all-star game of their under-20 teams, so we're looking forward to that. Are you ready to get to the topics?
Let's do it.
Number one, as I said, football. Three Down Nation reporting the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Their focus is signing Zach Collaros, number one out of everybody, not Matt Nichols. And they feel that Chris Streveler is going to the National Football League. Can we start there?
Yeah.
I'd have lost a bet on that one. Now, I understand what Zach did for it. I mean, Grey Cups are fairly rare around there. Mm-hmm. I get what he did. And according to the Three Down website, Matt Nichols' injury last year that finished the season, I guess, has the Mancy. But I guess play GM for a second. I'll start with you, Rems, because you're the guest. Out of those three, Collaros, Streveler, Matt Nichols, who would be your number one focus?
Well, they're convinced that Chris Streveler is not going to be there, or at least he's going to pursue an NFL opportunity. So we might as well take him out of the equation.
Right.
So now you're down to the other two. And although I think that Matt Nichols is probably just, I think I would probably lean in his direction. They probably feel, based on the doctor's reports and everything that's going on with him, that they're actually probably more concerned about that shoulder than they are about Zach Collaros's head and his brain. Now, I don't have a whole lot of faith in him being able to play a whole season. I personally think it's imperative for them to find two quarterbacks. Because I think if you go into the season with Zach Collaros, as good as he is, because when he's good, he's really good. I mean, we saw that here. The Saskatchewan Roughriders
record, he's healthy.
When he's healthy and in the lineup, was absolutely fantastic. But he's never in the lineup. So they caught lightning in a bottle in the last regular season game, and then in the playoffs, he was available. He didn't get hurt. And knock on wood, he doesn't get hurt moving forward. I don't want to see a guy like that get hurt. But the reality is he's one strike away from being out of the lineup potentially for 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 games. So I don't think you can go in with just thinking, well, he's our guy and we're going to pay him whatever he wants to stay, but then not have somebody that you're willing to shell out some dough to be a backup quarterback.
So you're getting it. We would lean towards Nichols, but we're not getting the medical information that Kyle Walters and Mike O'Shea are. So Killer Kaminsky's here. Can we get the man a coffee? How are you, Killer? Look, away they go. What are you taking, Killer?
Couple cream.
There you go.
Thank you.
Thank you. come on into the locker room. Get the man a coffee. Point two, Riders extend defensive end A.C. Leonard. That from Three Down Nation as well. A raise to $150,000 per season. One thing I'm hearing on the highways and byways of these towns and the events, Dupes, is that who do the Riders want in free agency? My take, if they retain everybody, which is a tall order, but if they do, they'll be fine. They're a first-place team.
Yep.
They're a goalpost away from getting to the Grey Cup and probably would have won it.
Yeah.
So that's my take on free agent. Keep all your guys that you can, and you'll be fine.
Yeah, you gotta keep some of your guys. That's important. For me, the linebacking core is a bit of a question mark. Cameron Judge is a free agent. Derek Moncrief gone to the NFL. So what are they going to do at linebacker? Keeping or getting Cameron Judge back has to be, you know, mission number one, I think. And then rounding out that linebacking core probably with somebody that we've never heard of yet, right? We'll probably come in and play significant minutes there. And then Shaq Evans, you know, at receiver to build off of what he did. But yeah, you're right. Keep the guys and you're going to take a step forward.
Couple other topics and we'll go through the Elite Eight here a little more quickly. Number three, Super Bowl, Kansas City versus San Francisco. Still Chiefs favored by a point and a half. That's going to change over the next 10, 11 days. I'll get your football take on that, Rems, down the line. Number four, the Astros, from what I saw this morning, are not apologizing for sign stealing. That's what I saw this morning. Buster only talking about it. Yeah, they fired the coach and the GM. I get that. But overall, the guys that did it, not apologizing for what they did. Here's my take on that. You can call me crazy if you wish, because we got in a big fight on the limo bus on the way home Saturday from the Rush game about this. I still don't understand baseball culture. I'll never really get it. I'm not really a baseball guy, even though I did grow up playing it. It's a different game now than it was then, because one of the biggest reasons is technology. And I've said it on this show, but I want to say it again more emphatically. Stealing signals has always been a part of it. And to have other teams complain, Kelly's looking at me very disapprovingly right now.
But to have other
teams complain about the fact that they use technology to steal signs, to me, is like the newspaper industry, the cab industry, Blockbuster, all bitching about being left behind because of technology. I'm sorry. And that's why I think the Astros are not apologizing for it. They were ahead of the curve in the way they were stealing signs. I did get documentaries sent to me, long-form articles about how they were signaling from the outfield what pitch was coming by how many bangs on the garbage can lid in the dugout, what it was going to be. I say they're ahead of the curve. That's what I say. I think it's all sour grapes.
I couldn't disagree more.
If that's totally fine. We can still be friends.
Sure. Of course. That's what makes these things fun, right? Everybody knows that in sport, part of the whole objective is to try to figure out what the other team is going to do before they do it. That's why when you see a defensive coordinator on the sidelines and he's doing all this kind of stuff and he's using all these hand gestures, if stealing signs wasn't part of it, they would just yell out to the defense, you know, 34, blah, 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 you know, all the words. Nobody would be trying to hide anything. We all know that. So if you're smart enough that you can figure that out organically on the sidelines, then I think that people would say, okay, that's just smart. If I can see the third base coach is standing there and he's going through all these signals, and you figure out that the key is the hat. So every time, whatever he does after he touches the hat is what they're going to do, and you could figure that out, nobody would have a problem with that kind of sign stealing. But when you're using equipment and you're like what Belichick was doing, where you're planting, you know, equipment and technology, and you're preparing before the game even starts, I think that's the difference. I don't see them as being the same thing. It doesn't happen organically that way.
You know, it's okay to cheat. But don't use technology to cheat. I don't know.
Well,
we're kind of saying the same thing.
It's not cheating, though. That's maybe.
If the speed limit's 100, we'll let you off at 105, but don't go 130. You can't cheat a lot. You can just cheat a little. Because you're saying stealing signs is part of it. You can do it organically. Don't use technology to do it.
Correct. But it's not cheating if you're doing it organically. That's part of the game.
Fair. What do you think, Dan?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you guys are opening my mind, and I'm just going
crazy.
Well,
that's nice.
No, it's just going crazy. It's just going crazy because I sit there and be like, okay, if I can watch him do his signs or the coach do his thing, I can watch him, see him, have a coach that's sitting there looking for the nuances to give us an edge, and I can have a camera up looking at the field for my game film, and I can see what players are doing and study their game film, but on that camera, I'm not allowed to look at the coach. Now, I don't know where I sit on this now, right? Because
I think I've put my point out well. I'm not forcing everybody to agree with me, but I see why the Astros guys that got fired aren't apologizing for what they did. And they got the rings. They'll work again. By the way, so moving on, point five, who has the best All-Star game? Apparently, we had that question earlier this summer as a poll question. So the NHL All-Star game goes Saturday. I'm excited about that. The Pro Bowl goes Sunday. So there's two All-Star games in one weekend, and that's fantastic. That's delicious. what's the best All-Star game? For me, I still got to say hockey, I think, because the Pro Bowl, they don't really play. The All-Star game in baseball has become a little bit of something, right? Home field in the World Series. I'll say hockey, but real quick, what's your best All-Star game that you... You're not dying to dial in any of them, but if you're going to pick one, what is it?
It's hockey for me. It's always been. And for me, I love the skills competition. I love the fun that they have. I love the player intros, and you get to see them. You know, and usually they get mic'd up on the bench, and they're still kind of playing the game in a fun way. And number two for me is football. Not for the game, but now they have the skills, the quarterback skills and the player skills. I love watching that.
It's like asking me, do you prefer black olives or red beets? I can't stand either of them. I'm not an All-Star game guy. Just I don't know how else I can answer it. I guess probably if you made me pick one, I'd probably pick baseball, only because in hockey and football, they're both violent contact games, and in All-Star games, there's absolutely no contact. So you can't even, it doesn't even look like a hockey or a football game for the most part. Whereas in baseball, you could still play the game relatively similar to the way it normally is played. Like the NBA is the worst. You might as well just give guys free access to go in. There's nobody boxes out. Nobody plays defense. It's a bit of a joke.
Well, and the NHL's doing four teams of 3-on-3 still, are they not?
Yeah, and that actually got the NHL.
That doesn't look anything
like hockey.
Regular season.
Yeah. But it's what we're doing in overtime with the 3-on-3. And I actually like moving to the 3-on-3.
I don't mind that.
Because it became really entertaining. The games ended up being really good, where you have, you know, the four teams play, and then you have a semifinal and a final in the three periods. I think it's really good for the NHL.
But just isn't the whole point of sport to watch guys compete? Like, get out there and compete.
An All-Star game.
But if you're not, right, but that's why I don't like them. Because it's, to me, it's just not real sport. It's like intramurals or something for entertaining the fans.
Yeah. It seemed like in the 80s, those NHL All-Star games did mean something, and they were going out and playing hard. But over time, it's changed.
They've morphed into a non-competitive.
Like Tiger Williams laying out Mike Bossy behind the net, like knocking him out in the 1981 All-Star game. You're not going to see that anymore.
No.
And it wasn't an accident. point six, the CFL and the Brazilian Football Federation announcing a partnership this morning. Brazil's the latest football-playing country to form an alliance with the CFL. Are you a believer in this? I'm going along with it because we're too far down the road. Whatever, it's happening, so I'm going to get on board with it. I was with, as I mentioned yesterday, a Winnipeg Football Hall of Famer Sunday, who's very active in the CFL alumni, and he loves the fact that this is happening, CFL 2.0, because within a few years, we'll have alumni of the CFL all around the world. He said, we can have our alumni meetings in Mexico or Italy or France. It's not bad.
No, I think it's okay.
So you got to start somewhere with the globalization of the Canadian Football League, and there's one reason to get on board.
Well, as Randy kind of says, you know, we want the Canadian Football League to be the biggest league in the world. And so if all of those countries and all those communities are thinking of the CFL and wearing CFL logos and partnering with the CFL, the CFL might be the biggest in the world, which is crazy to believe or even imagine that it could be that big. But international football is growing. It's growing in Mexico. It's growing overseas in Japan. So the CFL can be a great partner. And as we're seeing, you know, guys like, you know, Derek Moncrief mentioned, come in, do your time, or however he wants to mention it. But you come to Canada. That becomes the route for these international players to maybe get to the NFL, or maybe that is the pinnacle of their football careers.
there's a little voice in my head that says the CFL needs to sort of clean up their own backyard first and then maybe start worrying about what people are doing in Mexico or Germany. But I will say this. I was watching a YouTube video that my son showed me a couple weeks ago. He says, Dad, you gotta look at this. So he shows me this running back from Mexico. It was like Guadalajara or something like that, this kid. And sometimes I find it difficult to translate what 13 or 14-year-olds are doing, like when you're watching it on YouTube. Well, maybe the defense was just so bad that like he was running through it like Swiss cheese. But from what I could see, that there was some pretty good football being played, much better than I would have thought in a Mexican football league. I wouldn't have thought that the kids would have been that athletic and that tough and that, you know, I don't know why, but I wasn't expecting to see the execution of these offensive plays to be that good. So maybe they're not as far back as what we think. I mean, we've already seen Australian rugby players. I mean, you talk about tough. Think about what those guys are playing. Not only do you have to be in incredible shape, because unlike football that starts and stops every 8 seconds, I was telling my kids, give me 8 hard seconds, and then you can stop for 40. And then you go hard for 6 or 7 or 8 seconds again. And then you can stop for 40. Well, in rugby, these guys are going like half an hour full blast with no breaks and hitting each other without equipment. So it shouldn't be a
real athlete.
It shouldn't be a surprise that these guys, they're making fullbacks out of these guys in the NFL and that. So it does make some sense, and I can see how they could have that vision. But I mean, realistically, do you see that happening anytime soon, honestly?
No. And
me neither.
I was in Huatulco last year trying to find a Walmart. I needed a belt. And as I found out, Mexicans are little people. I'm 6'3", 230 pounds. Very hard to find clothes in a Walmart for me. So how are they going to be pro football players? But I guess they can be kick returners. I don't know. But I'm willing to try. I'm just saying Mexicans as a nationality aren't what you think of when it comes to pro football. There hasn't been that many playing the NFL. We're going back way to the start of this. They're all kickers. But anyways, we're moving on. People chiming in on our morning coffee discussion. Scott Clark in Grand Prairie, Alberta says, All-Star games are tremendous to attend, horrible to watch. Yes and no, depends on the league. Scotty's a Dub guy. I worked with him with the Pats. Those WHL All-Star games were awesome. You've been to them. Those guys are competing. And it's very similar to what the SJHL is doing this week with the showcase. And we're running out of time here. We're going to bring Killer on next. Point seven was your favorite SJHL memories. I want to ask our viewers, what's your favorite SJHL memories? And for our Manitoba viewers, your favorite MJ memories or Alberta, your AJ memories, whatever they be thinking about that, okay? Yeah. For me, it's my whole life. It's hard to find one. There are many, but I'll think of it. And just point eight, everybody's thank you to Marshall Hamilton, who watches every day in Mesa, Arizona, said, you got to watch Inside a Killer's Mind, the Aaron Hernandez story. You seen it, Killer?
I thought we were talking about Kevin.
When the you documentary said that. Of Kevin Kaminsky.
That's what I thought.
I hope you're not as loopy as Aaron Hernandez.
Inside a killer's mind.
Not off, only on the field of battle.
Whoa.
Wow. That's a wow. And actually, I watched the first one. My wife came home from work, her work, and I said, I was getting into episode two. I said, just sit down. I'll get you up to speed on episode one. And she's like, no, I want to watch from the start with you. So I watched episode one twice yesterday. I was doubly disturbed. Watch it, but it's not for the faint of heart. One more from Brady in Saskatoon on the Prairie Mobile text line. He says, hey, Rod, it's Kirby Doc's birthday today. Hey. Anybody bring a cake for Kirby? I'm going with the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl. 49ers were in the Seahawks division, so I can't pick them, says Brady, the Seahawks fan. He's picking the Chiefs. And Trent writing in, Norway calling. Trent Bruner in Norway watching today says, too bad the Rush lost on the weekend, but glad to see Kevin Kaminsky on the air today. You're worldwide, Killer. Everybody's so excited that Kevin Kaminsky's in the bunker. He says, I used to attend university in Saskatoon in the 1980s with a girl he was dating at the time. I'm surprised that Strebler could be NFL bound. Have a good day, everyone.
I'm not.
That he could be going to the NFL?
Absolutely.
Because he's an athlete.
There's a market. Nobody's going to take... People need to understand that nobody is going to take a chance on this guy because they want him to be a drop-back passer and sling it for 300 yards a game. But those short yardage quarterbacks, a specialist, he only comes on the field when you need to gut out quarterback sneaks and options. Huge market for that.
This has been the rollout for Flooring Superstores and our friends, the Dickin family, a family-run business, Flooring Superstores in Regina at Park in Arcola. Kevin Killer Kaminsky in the bunker next. You're watching The Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
2020 has officially arrived. It's time to trade and upgrade at Capital Ford Lincoln. We're ready to pay top dollar for your vehicle, and you deserve an upgrade. Trade up on a brand new 2019 F-150 Super Crew 4x4. They're starting at just $34,999 plus tax. That's savings up to 30% off. Plus, get 19% off all remaining new 2019 Ford Escapes. It's time to trade and upgrade at Saskatchewan's largest Ford store, Capital Ford Lincoln in Regina.
Direct West provides us with stats and analytics, and it's amazing for us to look and see that, you know, each year we're 10 to 20% higher on our Google leads. It's great to see the success that our locations are having. The Direct West app gives us an opportunity to be in one place for people to find any of our locations or our commodities. Without Direct West, we would have to be in multiple digital places. I would recommend Direct West. They're great to work with.
This isn't just a beer. This is a double-aged, never-back-down, full-of-heart Western beer. This is a beer brewed by 16 guys who risked it all. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Welcome back, everybody. Time for Tuesday morning sports update. Canadian slugger Larry Walker will know soon if he's been voted into Cooperstown. The 2020 Hall of Fame class, selected by the Baseball Writers Association of America, will be announced today. Walker sat around 85% as of yesterday afternoon, well over the 75% threshold needed for induction, with approximately half of all votes still unknown. The Jets are on the road to face the Carolina Hurricanes tonight in one of five NHL games. Winnipeg's dropped back-to-back games to fall 3 points out of a playoff spot in the NHL's Western Conference. Meanwhile, the Hurricanes currently hold down the second wildcard spot in the East. It's the last night of NHL hockey before the All-Star break. Coach Joel Quenneville leads the Florida Panthers into Chicago tonight, taking on the Blackhawks for the first time since his wildly successful run in the Windy City ended some 14 months ago. Quenneville coached the Blackhawks to three Stanley Cup titles, hired by the Panthers last April. And Kawhi Leonard and the LA Clippers are in Dallas tonight in the only NBA game. Both teams come in hot. The Clips have won three straight to share the second seed in the West with the Denver Nuggets, and the Mavs have won four in a row to jump the struggling Houston Rockets for fifth seed in the West. This sports update is for Ballers Rec Room. Don't forget to join us at our Ballers Super Bowl party on Sunday, February the 2nd. We'll be there giving away tables all week next week for you and three friends. And Kelly, by the way, is watching from Ballers this morning. I'm calling up his text message today, trying to let everybody know to come down this week and have a bite with us to celebrate our one-year anniversary at Ballers Rec Room. We are giving out scratch and win cards, one per person per day, just for showing up. Giving away a trip for two to somewhere for tickets for a three-game series, flights, and accommodations paid for. The kids' grand prize is free tokens for a year. That's all this week at Ballers Rec Room, Regina's newest entertainment destination. Well, here we go. Big, big buildup for Kevin Killer Kaminsky, the head coach and GM of the LaRange Ice Wolves, the pride of Churchbridge, Saskatchewan. Feared NHL fighter. Killer, would I be right in saying that?
I don't know about that, but
but you were.
We give it a go anyway.
You try, yeah. Welcome to town for the showcase.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Could you tell our viewers what exactly the showcase is?
Well, there's obviously the best players from the MJ and the best players from the SJ, and obviously there's a lot of kids that got left out just because there's only so many room for on each team. So there's two 19 and 20 year old teams to show off their skills and thrills and all that stuff, and then there's a younger group, 17 and 18, and then all the scouts from Well, I know Alfie Michaud, my buddy from Maine. Mm-hmm. Black Bears will be here, and a bunch of other colleges that will be here to scout these kids out. And hopefully they'll keep on watching them and get scholarships at the end of the year.
Colleges and NHL scouts, because I remember last year at this, the NHL scouts that were there were saying this is one-stop shopping. We can come see all the best kids in 2 days in one tournament in Regina. Now, obviously, Killer has traveled a long hockey road to get to LaRange. And I got to tell, we had a lot of stories to get to. And Killer, you're going to jump in here at any time. Joe Lazito in New York wrote me this morning. He's jumping up and down that you're going to be on. He said the best steak he ever had in his life was in Orlando with you at your house. So see how worlds are connecting? Joe Lazito watches this show every day from Long Island. How the hell did that happen, Killer? How does that happen?
Joe's a big, big hockey fan, and he's, man, you just see his collection of hockey fighters' jerseys and gloves and sticks and all that stuff. And, yeah, so every time we would go in to play the Islanders, I'd always meet him for coffee and sign stuff, and he would give fighting tapes back to me and all this. And when we've kept a good relationship, and then I don't know if you must have heard his book.
Oh, yeah.
You know, on the subway.
This is the guy that took down a mass murder on the New York subway. The NYPD tried to take credit for it, but it was actually Joe that restrained the guy. Yeah. Ended up suing the city of New York and blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Yeah,
Joe's, documentaries,
yikes.
Books. Yeah.
Yeah, it's
he's not a
book.
Wimp.
Oh, apparently not. No wonder he likes the enforcers.
Yeah. No, he's quite the character, that's for sure. He's just a super guy.
So hello to Joe watching this morning because he's so pumped. He also hosts a podcast on Islanders fighters. He said Mick Vokoda is on his latest, who is an SJHL alum from the North Battleford North Stars. So again, yes. How everything's all connected. But I'll say this, Killer and I just got to know each other really over Instagram over the last couple of years. But you're in Fresno coaching the Monsters. And I'd heard, and I can tell you now, it was Luby that told me at a Blades playoff game last year that you were coming to coach LaRange. He wanted to know where I found out.
Yeah.
I said, can't remember, Killer. I can't remember. But I said, if you're going from Fresno to LaRange, God bless you. Not many would. Mm. But I'm talking about the locale, not the hockey. And you went for the hockey, and it's been, from just watching from the outside, Killer, it looks like better than you could have even imagined.
Yeah, it's been quite the year, a very productive year. You know, obviously the Ronge hasn't had much success in the last 7-8 years, and you know what? I gotta commemorate my scouting staff, Rob Fiola,
yep.
Right from my hometown in Churchbridge, and his staff that he's put together for bringing in these players, and also you know just. The work that me and Galen Patterson have done here, and you know, the guys have bought in. You know, like I said, there's not much to do up in LaRange besides a little snowmobiling and some ice fishing. So you know what, we try and make it fun, and we do some different things, and you know, again, just to have come to the rink to enjoy each other, and again, just about you know, again, buying in, being on that same page, and finding those ways to win, just changing the culture completely. You know, at the start, we were finding ways to lose, but eventually that got better and better, and now we're finding ways to win, and hopefully it keeps continuing here down our last 15 games and for playoffs.
Kelly, you jump in anytime.
How different, you know, so I always find when I ask former players that would have played back when I was a kid, you know, in the 80s and that, and I tended to be amazed that sometimes I get different answers to these questions. It's not as predictable as you might think. So I'll ask you. So you could play, but you were also a tough guy, as were many of the players on the Blades. And there was a certain sort of culture back then that just, let's be honest, doesn't exist anymore. But you're an ultra-competitive guy. And sometimes I imagine when the juices get flowing in a game and there's stuff's happening on the ice, your instincts are to perhaps handle it a certain way, but you know that that's not going to fly nowadays. How hard is it sometimes to pull yourself back and draw a line in the sand and say, well, I know how I would have handled this situation 30 years ago, but I also know I can't do that now. Is that tough?
It is kind of tough. And I've, you know what, I feel we got probably one of the toughest teams in the league, and a lot of teams don't want to fight us, which is that's just today's game, right? And it's a chirp contest. That's what it is. And but as a coach, you have to adapt to today's game. You know, yeah, I think, you know, back in the day, it's just you do what you got to do, right? And if you didn't do it, well, you had five or six other guys in line to do it, you know. But today it's just like, you know, again, it's about it's more mind games than anything. It's about, you know, I always tell my guys, let's initiate, dictate, don't retaliate. So let's get in, play between the whistles, get that little extra shove, and then get out. You know, let them, you know, because
is it working?
Well, but our guys want to stay in and you know.
It's hard to pull them back.
It is. Yeah. And you know what, and for myself too, I'm, you know, you just said ultra competitive. I mean, I'm still, you know, my mouth can get me in trouble, you know, as it has. And when I was a player and as a coach, and I'm trying to curb that a little bit just to, but I want to stick up for my players. I mean, but like I said, I've got a, and I feel I've done a better job, but I feel like I have a little bit more room to do, even more so of a better job, you know, just to stay a little bit more composed and the refs make the calls, and it is what it is, right?
Yeah.
One of the great things about this show, of course, is the interactive nature. Greg's watching. Greg, Bucky Buchanan, and Lloyd Minster. Favorite Junior A moment or moments? Watching a 15-year-old Wade Redden play in Lloyd Minster with former WHL enforcer Kent Staniforth. Donna Berger says, favorite memories watching Selmar and Lyle Odelin play. Mm. Grew up with them. Plus Wendell Clark down from Quill Lake, who I don't think ever played Junior A. Wendell. Where is Wendell? We got Wendell here.
Wendell right there.
This is turning into the Blades desk up here.
One of my idols,
yeah,
right there.
Yeah, Wendell. Yeah, and
whoever
teammates.
Whoever would have thought back then that Lyle Odelin would have turned into an NHL good player.
Out of the family?
And Selmar.
Yeah, wouldn't.
Granted, he was hurt. But from what I remember, Selmar was just absolutely
smooth.
Unbelievable. And Lyle, well, talk about late bloomers. Lyle ended up being a hell of an NHL player. Yeah.
And I think Lyle had that toughness, you know, which he needed back then,
yeah,
you know, more so than Selmar. But, you know, both very good players.
Both very good. Yes. Imagine combining Lyle's heart and Selmar's skills. Holy smokes. Wow. You'd have an NHL All-Star, but that's the way that it goes. Can you put the comment up from Joe Lazito? There, pound for pound, the baddest dude to ever lace him up. One of the nicest humans on the planet, too. Love you, Killer. What are your dimensions, Killer? What are you, 5'9"?
5'9"?
Five nine.
Yeah, and I played about 190.
It's not that big. So what was your secret to surviving? And
I think it was a little bit up here, the mentality that I had, that I loved the challenge to I mean, everyone who I fought was always bigger, no matter what, right? So I just, I don't know why, I love that challenge. I've, well, you know, go inside Aaron Hernandez's brain. I mean, put two blades on, I become a different breed, and, you know, I don't care how big you are. You know, I'm going to
try
kick your ass, and that's it, you know? And if I don't, then I'm going to come back out of the penalty box and
try again.
You know, I'm going to get the last punch in no matter what.
Was there ever a guy that said, I'm not fighting you, I got nothing to win here?
Well, there was a, you know, there's a few guys that, you know, I, you know, I tried fighting Worrell.
Peter Worrell.
Yeah. In Calgary. He didn't want, you know, but again, when you're that big, and then if you're going to lose to a 5'9 guy, then
it's lose for him,
right? Yeah, exactly. So so, you know, I mean, and maybe it was just the way the game was going too. I mean, maybe he didn't need to fight, but yeah, I mean, it was I wish I would have, like I said, I love that part of the game, but I wish I would have, the way my body feels now, I wish I would have played a little bit more of the skill game too, because I mean, I know I
could do that.
I could put up a lot of points, and I had a point game, and you know, the age or the American Hockey League, and good numbers in junior and all that stuff. So, but like I said, the other side, I got sidetracked a little too easy, and then but I enjoyed that part.
Your nickname wouldn't have been Killer.
There you
well,
go.
What would it have been?
I have a very funny, I think, story. I don't even know if you've ever heard this story. It's hard to say whether this would have filtered back to you or not. But
oh,
Rick Dirksen was holding court one time, And I asked Rick about what some crazy, you know, disciplinary moments or whatever in his career. And he said, well, and you, your name came up. So after the Mark Jansons cross-check, right? Ugly incident. I think you'd have to admit that. You get flown into Calgary to have your hearings with Daryl Lubinicki and Marcel Como and yourself. And before you were allowed in the room, Rick Dirksen said he's talking to the two, like the coach and the general manager, about how we're going to proceed with this. And this guy's a repeat offender and this and that. And they bring you into the room.
This better be true.
No, it's absolutely true. You'll know. Marcel Como and Luby says, sit down, killer. Killer, sit, have a seat here. And Rick Dirksen's kind of rubbing his forehead like this. And throughout the process of the disciplinary, and what happened, Kevin? What did you see it? They kept on referring you as killer all the time throughout this whole meeting. So then, after the whole proceedings was over and you left the room, Rick Dirksen said, he's scratching his head. He says, I'm just going to throw out an idea here, guys, and then just my just observation. But there's a possibility that we might be able to reach this young man a little bit easier if you guys weren't constantly calling him killer.
Well, Bill Chow stood in that hallway right there this summer. Same thing. He goes, can you stop calling him killer? I'm like, he calls himself killer.
That's his nickname.
That's his nickname. It's a clothing brand. There's something about people like you, killer, and I'd like to throw myself in that category. We're a little hard to handle. Is that fair?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, like just like Joe said, like, I mean, off the ice, I'm going to do anything for any kid or any charity I can help out with. But I don't know. It's just, it's part of you. It's in you.
Yeah, you don't
know?
Take that out of a guy, right?
You know, just it's just the, and my coaching, I'm the same way. I'm intense. I love to win. And that's what I'm trying to install into these young guys, and they've got that. Now, you know, I think the only thing with my team is we need a little more consistency, you know, to keep, you know, keep winning, you know, here and there. But we've done a very good job. I mean, the people are excited in LaRonge. I mean, every time, you know, I don't do much in LaRonge, but if I go to the co-op and get groceries, I mean, the meat cutters are coming out and talking hockey and, you know.
Well, I'll say this. I showed up at your spring camp in Saskatoon. The minute I walked into that rink, it was a big deal that the Ice Wolves were there. You know what I mean? And you got a great staff, and you've restored very fast the pride in the franchise. And good for you. But thank it's you. Year one, killer. Like, you got not a long ways to go, but you're settling in, right? I get your expectations are here, but the way it's going is pretty exciting.
Yeah.
We'll take a break. We'll be right back. Bill Chow coming in as well, the president of the SJHL. Kim Davis, the president of the MJHL, and some reps from SaskTel. We're talking hockey this morning on the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
I've chased adrenaline my entire life. But I'm talking fourth quarter, monster hit, crowd losing it, nothing beats the energy of a rush game.
At Prairie Mobile, you can get the phone you want when you want. All smartphones are $0 every day. With convenient locations across Saskatchewan, Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer, has you covered. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition, and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard, and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Oh yeah, he's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Rod Peterson Show on this Tuesday morning, episode number 160. I don't think we ever did announce what the poll question is today, so we'll update the poll question and the results for Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center with Larry Walker on the cusp of Cooperstown. We're asking, who's the greatest Canadian major leaguer of all time? And Remps was part of this discussion in our pregame meeting, coming up with these names. There's not a lot of names, I'm afraid to say. But on Facebook, 85% are saying Larry Walker. 9% saying Ferguson Jenkins, who's already in the hall. 4% Justin Morneau, and 2% for other. And I don't know who the other would be, so I guess, Kel, we've nailed the top three. If only 2% could say other. Now, Terry Poole, Melville product, longtime Houston Astro. I think he still holds a record for longest errorless innings by an outfielder. So that's nothing to sneeze at.
No. God, no. Ross Mahoney and him used to play together. Our friend Ross.
Haas. He'll be down at the showcase today. So with Killer Kaminsky in studio, the head coach and GM of the LaRange Ice Wolves, we'll take your requests. And Bill in Assiniboia writes in, he says, get him to tell the Ty Domi story from the Memorial Cup.
We were just talking about
in
that.
In Saskatoon. Killer, you can't get out of here without telling that story. You probably get asked it all the time.
I do. Is, you know, like I said, I haven't come back to Saskatoon for quite some time, just being in the States and that. And then, but whenever I did come back to Saskatoon and you're out with your buddies, whatever, and someone would always bring that up, like, that was the best fight, you know, in the Memorial Cup. And it was pretty cool. I'm going to elaborate on that with the other Memorial Cup that Saskatoon hosted. So that year, I mean, obviously you heard Ty Domi coming in and the toughest in the OHL. And
what was it, Peterborough?
Peterborough Petes. Yep. So he was getting a rim around in the far corner there, and I anticipated that. So I went in for the big hit, and stocky guy, kind of bounced off him, and we looked at each other, and away we went. And obviously it was a pretty good fight. And that was it. I mean, it was just, again, today, it's whenever I come back, people still talk about that fight. Now, with the other Memorial Cup, and his boy Max played in
London.
So we were, after one of the games, we were all out. Because actually, they brought in, the Blaze brought in all of the 89 team that was on there back to that Memorial Cup. So, and I was scouting anyway for my team in Louisiana. And we're at Hudson's. And my old roommate, Dean Holine, who's obviously a hell of an athlete himself with fastball and all that. But I'm talking with my cousin Lee and his girlfriend, and he comes walking over and he goes, hey, Killer, look who I found. And
here was Ty. In the bar.
And Ty Domi, right? So Me and Ty, we hit it off. We started talking. We hung out at the games, watched his boy play. And now, you know, again, the small hockey world to this day, we still call each other once in a while and check up on each other and say whatever.
Had you not seen each other since 89?
Well, we had fought a few times in the NHL, so that was it.
If that counts.
Yeah.
Right.
Hated him anyway, right?
Yeah, no kidding. You know, and by the way, when I wrote Killer and he was in Fresno and I said, so why are you coming to LaRange again? And he said, I've been gone for 30 years. I want to come home. So has it been, obviously they named a rink after you in Churchbridge, so that's pretty cool. Yeah, Darren Dreger was on here last week talking about that and how proud he is of you and the town for doing that. But so coming home, how's that been?
I think it's been awesome. You know, the weather's a little chillier, right, than
Ooh,
Fresno?
But was my point.
Yeah. I should be doing it the other way. I should have started in the SJ and then
going to end it up in Fresno.
Getting old, you know?
Anyways, yes.
Yeah, but it was just, it was, you know what? So I went through a little rough time in the States there, but all my girls are doing good. My oldest is in Chicago. It's her third year teaching. My two oldest graduated from St. Norbert in Green Bay, and they were cheerleaders for the Packers. And my middle one just graduated.
Really?
My middle one just graduated from St. Norbert, and it's her first year teaching this year. And then my other one finished high school, and she's in Belmont University in Nashville. So, and it was just like, because actually I turned Melville down, I think 3 or 4 years ago, just because of all the bills that comes with the divorce and all that. And then also the exchange rate didn't help out. Oh. So once this was done, I mean, you know, dad's getting older. I got the girlfriend, Lana in Saskatoon, and it was just like a full circle. It was just time to come home.
Well, you see Killer's photos with all these beautiful blondes. Turns out they're his kids.
Wow,
Killer.
Packer, two of them.
Great genes.
Green Bay Packer cheerleaders. Wow.
Well, the St. Norbert cheer team, right? They've been cheer since they were this little.
Yeah, my daughter's in cheer.
Yeah, it's crazy. But the St. Norbert cheer team cheers for the Green Bay Packers at all the home games because they don't have a cheer squad there, like all the Dallas Cowboys and all that stuff. So
I do have, well, one last thing on you coming home. Seeing you fishing and pulling in these huge fish in the summer also tells me how much you're enjoying being up there. But let me ask you this. Today's player, today's game, I don't know why anybody would want to coach in it, but the coaches love it, and you're one of them. What's it like coaching these kids and from your days in junior? It's not even recognizable.
Yeah, it's like you got to put on 20 different hats for 20 different kids, right? But you got to see how you got to coach each one of them. You know, and it's, you know, you got to give them a little bit more love than the, you know, I said I'll pat them on the back when they need it, but when they do need a kick in the pants, I'll give them a kick in the pants as well. So, you know, not literally.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you can't do that.
We know what you mean.
Not anymore.
What's his name from Colorado there? The
Mark
coach.
Crawford.
Mark Crawford, yeah. And I like Mark. Mark's a great coach and all that stuff. So,
that's all changed.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, it's just a different way of life today. But again, it's, like I said, it's about adapting as a coach, you know, and as a player. Like, you know, we have one really tough guy that loves to fight, but no one wants to fight him. And I keep telling him, look, no one's going to fight you. You got to change your game a little bit here too. You got good skill. You got a good shot. Let's score. Beat him up on the scoreboard, then the other stuff, you know, and get that last little thing in and get out. You know, let them come after you. So that's kind of...
Well, that was the odd thing, because in the SJ back in the day, you couldn't fight in it 25 years ago. You fought and you were gone, but guys still fought. Now that's pretty rare, isn't it?
At all levels.
Yes, yeah. But in major junior, you can still fight three times. Guys just don't do it.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
But the point is, in the SJ, you could never fight, and there was still 20-on-20 brawls. So it's just the way the players changed.
Is there any hitting in the dub?
No, nothing.
No.
Yeah, you know.
Never.
I get that a lot from our team, is that no one wants to play us because we play that gritty style that we're going to crash.
You could drop the gloves. That's the thing.
You know,
the intimidation side of it.
Do you kind of remember? I mean, it's not something you're going to be able to put your finger on and say, yeah, it was November of 2001. So I'm not asking you to get real specific, but somewhere along the way in the early 2000s, the game changed where now if you throw a perfectly clean legal check, now everybody comes racing in like it's the worst thing that ever happened, and the guy has to defend himself and drop his gloves for absolutely nothing. I just think I'm kind of with Brian Burke on this one. It's silly that we now have a game where even at the highest level in the NHL, hard hits are now a thing of almost the past. Whereas now the guy's got to defend himself and fight after a perfectly legal hit. It doesn't make any sense to me. Does it make any sense to you?
No, it doesn't. Well, I mean, it's just, I think the part, you know, of, you know, I understand that. Well, and then again, if someone two hands you hard or whatever,
that's a dirty hit though.
But then the guy just turns and doesn't do anything, right?
Doesn't defend him, yeah.
So, but when there is a clean hit, and like I said, today, like some of these hits they're calling penalties on, it's just like the guy, he's smaller and he's going down, Well, he still hits him with a shoulder, but he's still getting two-game suspension or whatever. And, you know, the game is so fast, and it's a reactive game that it's hard to control your body when he's trying to get out of the way, too.
In a split fraction of a second.
Yeah. It looks a bit worse than what it is, right? So, but yeah, I totally agree. I mean, it's you know what? Let's get rid of all that other nonsense. Keep the good, hard, clean hits in there. And I understand some of the, you know, the hits from behind or whatever.
Totally different situation.
Bad. You know, so I mean, here's another thing. Like, if you can't hit with your shoulder anymore, now let's get to the back to the hip check. Now
never see that either.
Start taking knees out, right? And then everyone's going to bitch about that.
Well, a lot of this could be saved if they put the red line back in. Guys aren't going 100 miles an hour. And I don't know if they'll ever do that or not, because they wanted to speed up the game.
Right.
Now, look what we have.
But with that comes the other uglier side of it. But they don't want that either. So
I don't know what the answer is. Our producer, Clark, has brought up a really good point. Clark's a hockey guy. He's worked in the SJs. His friends... I'm going to read exactly what Clark's put up here. There's sometimes a hesitation for players to go to LaRange to play. However, everyone I've ever known who has played there loved it. Can you talk about the culture around the Ice Wolves there? And I know exactly what Clark's saying. Any guys that we know that played for LaRange, and they've been there 25 years-ish, they loved it. Why is that?
Well, I first of all, I think it's an awesome community. And I think the boys have done a great job of getting it. Like, they've done every possible promo that they've asked, and plus, you know, the guys are billeting with the kids that are playing in minor sports, so they go out and help out with practices and everything. So the boys have done a great job. The board has been awesome to work with, you know, in that manner. You know, and I just think we're gelling really well, like both on ice but off ice. And you know what? I mean, I heard the biggest thing is that no one wants to come to LaRange, you know, because it's out there and whatever. But these guys are having fun, man. They're snowmobiling, and I know we're setting up a thing for some ice fishing. Just, we were supposed to do it this week, but it was too cold to get it all squared away. But, you know, like, again, we're trying to do that fun stuff to, you know, bring that culture back and you know, and have those winning ways, because they did win back-to-back championships, you know, a few years ago. 10 or I can't remember.
It's been a while. Longer than they'd like.
yeah. So, I mean, I really think it's an awesome spot to be. I mean, yeah, you might have to, you know, bear the cold, but you got to bear the cold
anywhere.
At least you got trees to have shelter, right, up there?
Well, see, here's the thing. This summer, I went up to visit some hockey guys in August. It was my first summer off in 20 years. So, you know the feeling. And I take that turn off at Emma Lake, and it said, Waskasoo, another 237K. I'm like, man, I'm glad I'm turning off here, because that is a long ways up there. Do you like riding the bus? I talk like I did it forever. You've done it for far longer, for way more miles. How do you feel about it? Because I don't think I could do it anymore.
I love it.
You do?
I love it. I mean, I like to get on and, you know, getting older now, so you can do a little work and take a nap and...
Nobody can get at you. That was always the good part for me.
Yeah, but. I mean, it's I enjoyed it. You know, you hear the boys talking back there. You just sit there in your seat and laugh what they're talking about. I mean, and it's just a camaraderie that are on the bus. You know, I know in the old days we used to play cards and that. Right now, everyone's got their phones right?
Yeah.
So I guess the only time they're not on the phones is on the way to Flin Flon. There's no cell service for about 3 hours, so.
How do they survive?
I don't know. They're withdrawal. They're all sweating. And
team bonding. You actually have to talk to one another.
Exactly.
Well, we could sit and tell bus stories a lot. I'm sure you got a million. But I remember when I was with the Prince Albert Raiders, we bused from Spokane to Red Deer. And it was a long ways by our standards. I think it was 10 to 13 hours. We played crib the whole way. And for a dime a point. And it ended up being a lot of money. We're playing for a long time, right? So Donnie Clark is like giving us hell for the amount of money that's being exchanged, because he didn't like guys in the back gambling for big money, because the players like to do it. And anyways, Dahlman owed me, okay, it was 1993. $40 was big money back then. I said, what size are your shoes? He said, 12. I said, I'll take both your pairs of shoes. So I did. And when we went to bed that night, I could see diamonds and clubs and hearts in my You know what? I want to close my eyes because I've been looking for 13 straight hours of cards. I'm kind of glad they're not doing it anymore. What was your big game, Kaiser?
Kaiser was a big game, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Crib, we played, you know, Crib.
Crib's a great game.
Yeah.
But you get to know somebody when you're playing cards with them for 13 straight hours. That's what I liked about it, too. But they don't do that anymore.
But that's part of the whole camaraderie. And I'd rather, I mean, if I was a coach, correct me if I'm wrong, I would rather have a bunch of guys on, playing fun games of crib for a nickel, a hole, or whatever that we want to do, as long as it doesn't, you know, kind of get like so the money's high enough that people's feelings start getting kind of. I would rather that than guys sitting on their phones watching YouTube videos and, you know, that you don't really get to know your teammates doing.
Well, that was the thing with Donnie, cards, but he was like, how can I tell the guys in the back of the bus not to play for big money if you guys are up here playing for me? You know how that would drive him nuts? of all people. By the way,
for big money, 10 cents a hole.
Well, it turned out to be big money. By the way, the documentary this summer on you guys, what was it, the toughest team ever?
Yes.
What did you think about that and the way it came out? TSN documentary. Were you happy with it?
Yeah, I thought it was great. I mean, for like I said, for me, I mean, I didn't play there all the time, you know, just on whenever I could get away for weekends, whatever. But I mean, to me, to play with those guys and to know those guys, like I'm not a much of a talker, but to sit, you know, Barry Melrose there, and you got Chaser, who those guys can talk, and then you got Wendell and Donnie and. The list goes on and on.
You didn't need to talk.
Yeah, I mean, especially with Chaser and Barry, you know. Man, the stories these guys would tell, you just sit there and
be hard to get a word in.
Laugh. Yeah, exactly. And then, like I said, you didn't have to worry about, God, I was probably the 12th in line to, if there did something ever happen on the field, you know, fight-wise, I mean, I didn't have to do anything, you know? So
that's why they call it the toughest team. Yeah, yeah, the Coasters and Corey, right?
Yeah, Corey, yeah. Yep.
So that was the documentary on a slow-pitch team.
Oh, fastball.
Fastball team,
yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, you're really whipping it, yeah. So before we let Killer go, a word from the SJHL. People like Kevin and LaRange Ice Wolves Hockey Club are a great part of the hockey culture in this province and this country. We were so proud to have them as a part of our family. Well, when I left Sastel Center last spring and Lubia told me that I knew this was going to be great, and it's been exceeded my expectations. So, Killer, continued success, and we'll see you down at the Cooperators Arena.
Thank you, Rod, for having me on. Appreciate it.
You betcha. Kevin Killer Kaminsky, next hour from the SJHL, President Bill Chow, from the MJ, President Kim Davis, and some reps from Sastel. It's a Hockey Tuesday. You're watching The Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
It's time to trade and upgrade at Capital GMC. We're ready to pay top dollar for your vehicle, and you deserve an upgrade. Check out this loaded, certified pre-owned 2019 Chevy Impala. Its Capital GM buyback resale event price is only $21,215 plus tax. That's half price from its original MSRP. Or upgrade to the certified pre-owned 2019 GMC Acadia for just $31,882 plus tax. Happening for a limited time at Canada's largest certified pre-owned dealer, Capital GMC in Regina.
You need to adapt and you need to move forward. You can't be stuck in 1920. Direct West is on the top of their game. They know what they're doing, how they're doing it, and when you work with Direct West, things are good. There's no going backwards, they're moving forward. My business would not be where it is today without the help of Direct West to help me with my website and my Facebook and all my online presence. I've worked with Direct West for about 10 years, and it's been a great experience.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
A man's personality and character is exuded through his haircut. Your image is important. Our high-end services range from a traditional haircut and shave to gray blending, beard shaping, and unwanted hair removal. Located at 425 Victoria Avenue East, book your appointment online now at modernmen.ca or call Tammy 306-522-4111. Modern Men, a haircut for the modern man.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.